This is Happiness Solved with America's happiness coach, Sandy Scarlatta.
Hello, and thank you for joining us today. I'm so happy you're here. Happiness Solved is the place where we explore everything you need to become the best possible version of you. This is Sandy Scarlatta, and today I've got some exciting news for our dedicated listeners. We've just launched our exclusive members-only portal. This is your ticket to a world of additional content designed to deepen your understanding and engagement with the Happiness Solved mission. To learn more about all of the exciting benefits, stay tuned until the end of the episode where I will explain in greater detail. For those interested now, head over to happinesssolved.supercast.com. Today is another amazing conversation, so let's get started. Dr. Rob Kelly, what a delight. You are like the 2 seconds that we had before I hit record. You are just so delightful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sandy. Of course. As soon as you said, listen, Sandy needs you on this time at this day, I'm like, hell yes, I'm on.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being flexible with me. All right. So this is going to be an amazing conversation because you have your PhD. And you're a sought-after recovery expert who believes in treating the causes of addiction and not the symptoms. I love that. You've been all over television, lots of interviews. My goodness. First of all, where are you from? Because I love your accent, and I would guess it totally wrong. I would say Australia, but see, I'm probably wrong.
Most people say that, yeah. Hi, guys. Dr. Rob Kelly here. Great to see you. I'm from Manchester in England.
Okay.
And I've been over here 18 years now, 14 in Dallas, Texas, where I resided and I practiced there, and then San Antonio, Texas for the last 4 years where we came to retire, but we never did. So, yeah, here we are.
There's no such, I mean, who wants to retire? If you're doing good work in the world, just, my gosh, what else are you going to do all day, right?
I know. Well, my dad always said that the day you retire is the day you die. And I've seen that so many times. So, you know, what's my job? Sat in front of a computer speaking to people, maybe a couple of office visits, and I'll do 4 hours a day. But what's there to retire from? There's no things to retire from.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So what is your backstory? How did you get into the work that you do? And why did you specifically choose addiction and recovery?
Great question. Well, I'm actually a recovered alcoholic and addict.
Okay.
So my alcoholism took everything away from me. My wife, my kids, my youngest one, 30 years on, still haven't seen since the age of one. So yeah, I suffered badly growing up in Manchester. My first drink was at the age of 9 on a stage in Liverpool, playing with a musical family. And my alcoholism kicked off from there. The only unfortunate thing about alcoholism back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s is no medical person knew anything about it, and they still don't today. The neuroscience behind the addiction is mind-blowing, especially alcoholism is mind-blowing. It differs from drug addiction, and we'll get into that later. So, yeah, I was homeless for 14 months. Mm. And you actually not couch surfing, actually lived under trees and in bus shelters for 14 months and fought every day fighting to survive and money to get alcohol and stealing food and, you know, all that stuff. And on 7 times I tried to commit suicide, and on 2 occasions it worked. Mm. My heart stopped and the EMTs brought me back to life twice. So, yeah, I was it was a horrible journey, and it's I wouldn't wish the journey on anybody, but, and I say but with experience and wisdom, on the streets for me, the 14 months on the streets was like a semester at Harvard University because of what I learned there.
Mm.
So people say today all the time, what do you know, Dr. Rob? You know, living in that big house, I've seen your cars you drive and stuff. What do you know? You've never been homeless. And I go, sit down, let me talk to you about that. You've never lost your kids. Sit down. You never stabbed your wife because she won't let you finish vodka. Sit down. I've been through all of that stuff, and it makes me the powerhouse I am today. It took me a long time to say that, by the way, guys. Don't tell that ego. Take your confidence of walking with God and everything I do today. So, that's kind of my backstory back home in Manchester, England.
Whoa. Powerful, powerful stuff. And thank you so much for being so transparent, because people need to hear that, right? I too had my own journey with addiction. And I became addicted to cocaine. And my life hit rock bottom back in January of 1990. So I'm coming up on 34 years. And yeah, it's an interesting thing. It's a very interesting journey. And my brother was homeless for on and off for decades. And he's finally has been sober for about 4 years now, and he has his own place to live. And, you know, fortunately, where we live, there's programs, county programs that really helped him, you know, take charge of his life. But so, yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that firsthand. I haven't experienced homelessness. And you know what? We all need to think that with a grain of salt, because it just takes one bad mistake to push you over the edge to being in that situation.
It does. You know, people say to me, God, I've never been homeless. Thank God for that. And haven't you though? Because living in the mental capacity that we were living in during our addiction, you're probably the loneliest person in the world. Just because you had a bed to go to or a couch to stay on doesn't mean you have the mentality of being abandoned. So alcohol and drugs have 1% to do with alcoholism and addiction. That's the latest neuroscience that we have done over the last 15 years, find out what it's about. So we get abandoned on the streets. I was abandoned on the streets. No one would take my call. Nobody would speak to me. And the feeling, but I would have got that feeling in a $1 million apartment.
That's right.
That feeling of neglect, of abandonment. I've always done it again, you know. so when my kids were taking off me, I was living in a beautiful house, you know, new Mercedes every 12 months. I was on six figures back in the 80s. But yeah, I was the loneliest person in the world and the saddest person in the world. And I didn't want to live anymore because I discovered one thing, Sandy, and that was it. I couldn't live without alcohol and I couldn't live without it. That was the bottom line. And alcohol was the most important thing. So when I went to my doctor and said, hey, he says, oh, you're an alcoholic. I got a problem with that. First of all, alcoholism is the only self-diagnosed illness in the world.
That's right.
Wise, do not make an alcoholic warning from the doctor. So that was strike number one. Number two, he just said, try and stop drinking. Well, if you are a real alcoholic, not a heavy drinker or abuser, if you're a real alcoholic, that is impossible to do. And we'll get into it later about the three parts of the brain that tell us different to anybody else in the world why we do. So, yeah, it's a rock bomb could be in a $1 million house.
That's right. That's right. And what people have to recognize is that, you know, happiness comes from inside. It's the external things, which is why I have this platform to let people know that it's a choice and you always have that choice. However, when you're dealing with alcoholism and addiction, it's much easier said than done. Why is that?
Because the people don't know what alcohol, let's just say alcoholism, we mean drug addiction as well. Okay. Nobody really knows what alcoholism is, or it's very few people. So why can't you stop drinking your kids? Just stop drinking because your wife, just stop, you've lost your job again, just stop drinking. Yeah, we can't do that. Okay, so we have to look at the complex position and psychological effect that the disease has, and it is a disease. It's a biochemical reaction to the ethanol in alcohol is what it all kicks, process of predisposition. Drug addiction is not alcoholism, is. So that's the differ quite from alcohol and drugs, but it's just a misunderstanding of what's really going on. I hear all the time, Dr. Robert relapsed on Friday, and I go, no, you didn't. No, I did. You relapsed a week ago, buddy, or 10 days ago. Wow. Where something changed in your behavior or your mental capacity, neural pathway started to self-sabotage a week or 10 days ago, and the drink was just the inevitable, the final, you know, thing you're going to do for self-sabotage. It's kind of a symptom, not the cause. So yeah, it's just very misunderstood. And when I get onto programs or I lecture at universities and hospitals about this, they are absolutely taken back with what I tell them. It's not about alcohol. It never was about the alcohol.
So what is it then? And how can people recognize it if they're struggling with that?
When I put alcohol into my body, I react a lot different to my neighbor. Okay, so let's look what happens. So if alcoholism is a predisposition, that means we're allergic to it. Alcoholism is the only allergy we get. You don't get allergy in drug addiction or food, cake, sex, porn. It's only alcoholism. So what happens is I'm predisposed to that from a family passed down. And when I first take the alcohol, it kicks off that. I have a mental obsession, which tells me that I need to drink alcohol. I'll scheme to get alcohol. That's the first thing that happens. And people say, I crave for alcohol. Well, if you've been sober for a couple of months, it's impossible. You can't crave for anything that's not already inside your body. So that's strike number one. So then what happens? The hypothalamus is part of the brain that's our survival instinct. Babies have it from birth. They know they need to eat, they put the hand in the mouth or cry because the belly hurts, and want to drink water. It's basic human needs. I have to drink water and eat food to survive. Everybody knows that. With alcoholics, what happens is the hypothalamus is great to start with, and through life it starts, and then you might be drinking, it still does its job, but all of a sudden, during that drinking career, the hypothalamus turns around and tells alcoholics to drink alcohol only. That's why we can go days or weeks without food or water. So we've got that going on. The basal ganglia, which is kind of our repetition, you know, a pilot needs 10,000 hours in the air. That's the repetition we get. So when he finally is let out on his own, he can do it blindfolded almost because it's set in the brain of learning something. What happens with the alcoholic and the drug addict is there's a default. So if you can imagine a clock face, 10 after, everything's going good. We get the wife back, you know, we get the job back, the car's okay. I get a promotion at work, and about 10 to the hour, bang, we self-sabotage for no reason at all. Like, nobody can give me a reason. Yeah, it's big. No, it's an excuse. Give me a reason why you realize. You can't do it because the two parts of the brain are telling us. Then the biggest gateway drug in the world is childhood trauma. And don't listen to therapists who tell you it's a plane crashing. Nah, this was part of my childhood trauma. How many times have I told you can't go to college, you're too stupid? That killed me on several occasions. So it distorts. So what we do is the amygdala draws, and the trauma stored in our subconscious brain. So we're not aware of it every day, but the prefrontal cortex here, and this is the disease part of it, whose only job is to come up with a solution as quick as it possibly can. The only problem is it doesn't have to be the right solution. So when this and this is crying out to drink, this thought pattern goes straight to the subconscious brain. A piece of crap will never be any good. Well, I'm an alcoholic anyway. What sign of father was you? And that's where the alcohol puts inside the body. But that happens weeks before. When the alcohol is inside the body, the brain and the prefrontal cortex has done its job. Now I get sick if I don't drink alcohol. So I have to continue to drink it, and I can't stop on my own. Three reasons I'll stop on my own. Death, which I can't, you know, twice it happened to me, being locked in prison or being put in a treatment center and locked up. But, you know, apart from that, the treatment center industry is around 4 to 5% success rate, and 12-step groups are sitting at 2 to 3%. So what's going on? Stop teaching people to stop drinking and taking drugs. Not the problem.
Mm-hmm. So what is the solution then?
And the how solution... Yeah, the solution is this, is, you know, we have to change the way you think. We have to recircuit the brain away from self-sabotage, harm behavior, and we have to get rid of the childhood trauma and clear that up. We call it going back to the scene of the crime. Now, that might be buried deep, but why does Jimmy hate Jimmy so much? While drinking, Jimmy can't look into the mirror. Why has Jimmy never been successful? And you find out that this learned behavior and enmeshment from caregivers, not their fault. I want to put that out there. Not their fault, because it's generational. Right. Learned behavior. My dad was strong and hit me, so I'll be strong and hit me. It's like the chain has to be broken somewhere.
Right.
So that's the deal. Then we have to look at behavior, central nervous system, is what's my reaction to certain things. And then we have to learn where's my relapse really and what's going on really. And when you find out that, you can permanently, like me, recover from alcoholism and addiction. So I'm a recovered alcoholic. So the first thing people say to me is, A, you can't recover, and B, we're never cured of alcoholism. Well, recovered and cured are two different things, okay? So first of all, let's look at cure. There's no cure for alcoholism. There's no cure for the common cold or food poisoning.
Right.
Simple as that.
Right.
Okay? So we can't do that. Recovered, look in the Oxford English Dictionary, where that book, six of them went to Oxford University. They used the book. Recovered means to gain one's health I'm no longer sick, and state of mind. Step two, being restored to sanity. When I'm in that place, the compulsion to drink was taken away. I've completed my trauma, so I'm never going to go back and be that little scared kid, 9-year-old, looking for help or getting bullied or being told he was a piece of crap. Never going to go there again. So what happens then is the subconscious brain does not run the show anymore, where all the bad stuff's hidden. My conscious brain, which is where we get 24 hours at a time, it's not an AA thing, it goes way before that. If we live in 24 hours at a time, all of our decisions are correct. Tie that with the gut feeling. The gut feeling always right. So while we're in the gut, two chemicals out of the four chemicals every day to make us happier, serotonin and dopamine, created in the gut. If you're not eating right, you will never be 100% happy. Serotonin. So let's look at dopamine. The depression in America as a whole is classified of being, you know, lack of serotonin, lack of dopamine. That's what it comes down to. So when you go to the doctor, you get SSRI. It's a serotonin. It gives you to boost your mood back up, but then you can't depend on that because it stops our normal serotonin. Why isn't anybody asking the question, why my serotonin is low in the first place? So oxytocin, serotonin, dopamine, endorphins need to happen every single day. So with a mixture of all that gets to a place where you can be 100% you instead of running on a 45% you.
And so what you're suggesting is that diet and what we put into our bodies, because if it's starting in the gut, or did I misunderstand that? Or
no, it's right. And what we eat is so important. But I mean, you look. I mean, I love America. I've become a citizen about 2 years ago. I take it very seriously. But you got to look at the food source in America. So let's look at the worst ever. Let's look at McDonald's French fries. Okay? In England, there's two ingredients in McDonald's. Two ingredients. In America, there's 27 ingredients.
And one of those is sugar.
Yeah. So most of our stuff is we get from the supermarket is sprayed in cornstarch and other likes to keep it preserved. They're dangerous to us. Oils that people use, or you get cooking oils, fresh oil, it's banana oil. It's a load of crap. You know, that story comes from Rockefeller because he was digging into oil and feeding the engines of the trains. And when they went away, they had to do something with it. So they convinced a health organization that they made up of their people that oil was good for cooking and stuff. It, you know, you've got to look at the stuff we're putting in. So interestingly enough, people say, oh, I've got inflammation on my knee. It's a family thing, got passed down. It's a generation. Oh, I've got a bad heart. It's impossible to carry inflammation of the knee or heart problems down to your son. It's impossible. But what happens is a deficiency within our food source. So if father, you know, was eating, let's say, cooking oil every day, frying his stuff in it, but the body can't metabolize or methylate that or substance, then it causes a problem in the body. So that's what's passed down, not the actual injury. And the other thing we have to remember is the presence of oxygen equals the absence of disease. Every disease in our body, every inflammation, every depression, every cancer, everything is created in a hypoxic area of the body. Why is that? We only breathe 25% of our lung capacity. The body can't survive on that, you know. The body becomes hypoxic and then we're open to diseases. The only reason you feel good when you go to the gym, okay? Not because of the workout. Nobody feels good just doing this. This is why you feel good. It's the oxygen. And people kind of put this down. It's like, it's so important that you do your breath work every morning. Not your meditation breath work. That is good. But I'm talking about it. 10 deep, exaggerated breaths in. Because when you get the oxygen flowing, it's a different ballgame.
Yeah. Well, as you know, we were supposed to meet last week, and my mother ended up in the hospital. And part of the reason, and it's so interesting because when I noticed that they had her on oxygen, because she wasn't getting enough oxygen, and it caused so many other problems, I can't tell you how many times since that day I have heard this same concept, and I never really put it together, right? Yeah. But that was part of the reason that she wasn't getting the oxygen.
Yeah. And if we start that now, today, I'll give you four things when we finish, before we finish, how you can change your life from tomorrow. But if we do the morning work, includes the oxygen, You'll feel healthy, you'll think clearer, your body will be able to protect yourself more because all the cells are running around with oxygen in them, not just 25% of your body. It's a game changer. It really is.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible. Incredible. Thank you so much.
What's the first thing they do, Sandy? You take you in an ambulance, put the oxygen on. What's the first thing they get in the hospital, put the oxygen on? Why do they do that? Because we're lacking oxygen. It's one of the reasons no human being wakes up laughing in the morning. It's lack of oxygen. So when we get up, when our body's gone into that REM sleep, it also repair time between the hours of 2 and 5. It's when most people die of natural causes because our body is at its lowest. So the oxygen is really low. So if you get up in the morning and you're kind of stumbling around, stop. The other four things I'm going to tell you to do, get that breath work in and you will have a different day completely.
Wow. Okay. So we've got breath work. And what's the second one?
Okay. So get up in the morning, do them 10 exaggerated breaths in and out. Like as much as you can, do 10 of them in the morning. Hold on to something. You will get dizzy. If you don't, you're not doing it properly. Stumble into the bathroom after your breath work. You feel pretty good. So we're going to march into the bathroom. If you're a right-handed teeth brusher, I want you to do 1 week with your left, 1 week with your right. Do that for a month. We're changing neural pathways, okay?
Right.
The third most important thing is looking in the mirror and saying, I love you 10 times, eye to eye. Now, here's the case. Women do this a lot when they put the makeup on in the morning. They lean into the mirror and they see all the blemishes on them, you know, and they go around that day with their blemishes on their minds. So they're pretty conscious about how they look. Stand 6 feet away from the mirror and the blemishes disappear.
That's right.
So we only see what other people see. So do your mirror work from there. I love you 10 times. No other affirmations. On your way out, make your bed. Boom. Your life will change from tomorrow. Believe me.
Wow. That was so powerful. So the breath work, march into the bathroom, brush your teeth, alternate brushing your teeth, right hand, left hand. And that's so important because that's going to help your brain health too, right?
Correct.
And then you want to stand 6 feet back. So you're seeing what other people see. And you want to say, I love you 10 times. And then you go make your bed. Love
it. If Eddie's already made, because you have a great wife or girlfriend or a great husband or boyfriend, the other thing you can add is compliment 3 people every day.
Yes.
Now, why is that important? Well, it releases dopamine to me and person you are complimenting. So a lot of people say, it's not possible. Next, try this out, guys. Next time you're in a built-up area of people, okay, look, sneakers are always best. Look around, see somebody with nice sneakers on. And as you pass it and go, hey, man, nice sneakers. Hey, man, nice sneakers. Forwards. Hey, man, nice sneakers. He's going to go, oh, thanks, man. Watch him walk away. He's going to look down at his shoes at least twice.
Yeah.
Now you have made his day. So now he's in a great mood. He goes home to wife or girlfriend because he's in a good mood. She's in a good mood. Mother-in-law calls and it just goes on and on. That's the effect we can have on people.
That's right. It's paying it forward. Paying it forward. And actually, I actually did that because I'm a talker. Like I talk to everybody and I was on the train. I was traveling and I was on one of the trains that take you from terminal to terminal. And there was this couple in front of me and their shoes were so white, sneaky clean. And I looked at them and I was like, I said, how do you keep them so clean? And I'm like talking. They didn't speak English, but they knew exactly what I was saying because I'm pointing at the shoes and they were just smiling. I'm pointing at my shoes. I'm like, look how dirty mine are. But they were just like gleaming. Yeah.
Changing people's lives. And it's better than anything you can do.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Love that. This has been so amazing. All right. So in the beginning, you were talking about addiction. You said that you were saying that there was 3 parts to it.
Three parts of the brain, which I mentioned. Basal ganglia, amygdala, where the trauma. The amygdala is like the smoke alarm for the brain. Them 3 parts in alcoholics differ from any other addiction. Okay? Alcoholics are born, drug addicts are made. People are blown away with that. You go, hey, it's all the same. It's not the same.
I can fully attest to that. attest to that.
Yeah. It's true, you know? It's crazy, but so when you find out what that is, when you find out what you're suffering from, because most people don't. I'm an alcoholic, says who? My doctor, what says who else? Oh, 5D, what else? Something happens inside my body when alcohol goes in, and before that, I think differently. Everything is raw around. So I'm stood outside the shop when I'm homeless, Sandy. I've got a pair of shorts on. I've got a pair of flip-flops. I have a string vest on, T-shirt vest. I'm sweating profusely, and it's minus two. It's snowing. I've got a banging headache. I can't think properly. My hands are shaking like anything. The guy who knows me now, he's not supposed to serve alcohol till 10, but he sees me out there at 5:30 as he normally does. He opens the door, he lets me go, and he shuts the door behind me. On this day is what changed my life pertaining to let's study about alcoholism and addiction, because people don't know what it is. I stumble to the counter. I mean, literally, I can't talk. My head's banging. I'm sweating. And I put the £10 down. He puts the bottle of vodka on. And this morning, I did this, Sandy. Hey, man, thank you. Headaches went, sweats, depression, everything went in literally 5 seconds.
Because you were holding the bottle.
Not even opened it. And I looked at the shopkeeper, looked back at me, back at the shopkeeper, back at me, and I went, holy shit, it's not about the alcohol. And that's what changed everything for me.
Was that when you stopped?
No, I was on for 3 months.
But okay.
When I finally got off, which was a different story, you know, like an angel story, I got off. that's when I dedicated my life to A, finding out what this is, because you don't know what it is, you know? And B, let's involve the family on a daily basis, and then let's start getting people well.
Yeah.
And I studied the neuroscience behind it. I've studied for the last 10, 15 years about the neuroscience behind what we're suffering from and how we can permanently fix it when we know how to do that.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible. So what do you think about the use of psychedelics to help people recover from childhood trauma? Because I've heard that I've never tried it myself, but I've heard that has been very effective in helping people recover with their childhood trauma. And so a lot of veterans, PTSD, things like that.
100%. And I've not done enough research, so I can't be an expert on this, guys, so bear with me. But my knowledge so far is if you're a drug addict, you have the addictive personality, it's not going to work. But the normal people suffering from childhood trauma and PTSD, it opens up the mind and the brain to get rid of that trauma from the past. And it's supposed to be very, very good. But I have no patients that do it. I know my patients that's been through, not all drug and alcoholics, just normal people want to better their lives. I think there's not enough research right now medically, but I do think in the next 3 to 5 years, it will become the new phenomenon.
Yeah. Well, and I do want to just throw out there, I have talked to a few people I've had two guests so far that's their life's mission is working with people. And what I do know that it's critical that it's done in a controlled environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you're just sat at home thinking, I'll turn some LSD to get my trauma out. Yeah. You're lying to yourself, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This has been such an amazing eye-opening conversation, Dr. Kelly, and thank you so much for joining me today. Is there anything else that you'd like to share before we finish up?
Just on one thing I'd like to plug. I don't plug my business, my book. Don't find me if you need them, but I really want to plug the robkellyfoundation.org is the website.
Okay.
Help us help other people. And the difference between our foundation, which has only been going for about 3 months, is when you donate, say you donate $100, and then we give $100 to help somebody, you will get a letter off that person thanking you for the $100 and telling you how they used that $100. So everything is managed and everything is all about loving each other. So you get a phone call of the guy going, hey, my name's Peter. You donated $100 to Rob Kelly Foundation. This is what I did with that $100. Thank you so much.
I love that.
I know.
Oh my gosh, that is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and the rest, don't worry. I have enough money. I have enough patience. I'm all happy. Don't worry about the body. Yeah, that's nothing. I don't need all that stuff. Don't need any more patience, thank you. The foundation, I think we're going to make a difference to millions of people's lives.
That's incredible. And thank you for that, because knowing that, I mean, that's why, you know, you hear these stories of like Susan G. Komen Foundation, which started out as a great cause. And then you look at the bottom line and the CEO is making, you know, $700,000 to $800,000 a year. I won't donate money to that cause.
No, well, why would you?
We
have 3 staff working on it, and they get paid from the Rob Kelly Group, or they get paid from the Neuro Hero, another stuff we have going. Nobody gets paid for the foundation. If you want to come in and work on a foundation, you're going to work free. Nobody gets anything from that. We don't take a dime. So, you know, we get, I don't know, 100,000, let's say, for instance. We can account for every single person that you will get a letter from that 100,000. We've seen it all. I've seen treatment centers charge little Johnny 5 or 6 times back the same money. 60 grand, 60 grand. It's like, why would you do that? You know, it's about giving back and helping people.
That's right.
We're just doing a toy drive now out of our own money in San Antonio. And so if you've got kids and you can't afford it, you know, especially if you want parent families, send me 3 ideas for your children and we'll pick one. We pick all 3. And we get 50 people. And then what we'll do is we'll buy all them presents and me and my assistant will get dressed up. She's an elf and I'm Santa Claus, and we'll wrap all the things, and we will spend a full day from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. delivering to the children from Santa Claus to the mom and dad who couldn't afford it.
Oh, you're just an incredible human being. Thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate it. And thank you to everyone who has tuned in today as well.
Thank you, Sandy. Thanks, guys.
I hope you enjoyed today's conversation, and as promised, I'd like to give you more details of what you can expect as a member of the Happiness Solved exclusive community. First, you'll have access to a treasure trove of extra podcast episodes. These episodes dive deeper into the topics we discuss, featuring additional expert interviews only found here. But that's not all. As a member, you'll also get access to a series of mindset training sessions. These recordings are tailored to help you understand the how and why your mindset is the most important asset you have, empowering you to achieve your personal and professional goals. And for those of you looking to find a moment of peace in your busy lives, we've got something special: exclusive guided meditations. These sessions are crafted to help you relax, refocus, and recharge. Whether you're a meditation guru or just starting out, there's something here for everyone. Becoming a member is more than just accessing extra content. It's about joining a community of like-minded individuals all on a journey to live life to its fullest and become the best possible version of you. So how can you join? It's simple. Go to happinesssolved.supercast.com and sign up. Don't miss out on this opportunity to deepen your journey with us. Again, that's happinesssolved.supercast.com, and it will also be in the show notes. I am so grateful you're a part of our Happiness Solved family, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your continued support. Again, I am so grateful for you, and I hope that you and your family are healthy and safe, and that your lives are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Take care, everyone.
It's time to get down to business with $30 a month business internet. WOW Business offers 99.9% network reliability so that you can keep your business moving. $30 a month gets you 30 megabytes per second with 24/7 US-based support, a price lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee. Lock in our lowest priced offer for the support you need. Go to switchtowellbusiness.com. Offer for new customers with a 2-year agreement subject to change. Prices do not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.